to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
So John chapter 3, look at verse 31 through 32. When I go to church, I like to learn some things. I like to get something that I can do something with. So let's read in John 3, verse 31 through 32. He that cometh, let me go back up and give you the context. John the Baptist is speaking of Jesus here. And you remember there were people coming to Jesus after John started preaching that he was coming. Then Jesus was baptized of John. And then more crowds started going to him, and they started talking to him about it. And John said, well, he's receiving this from heaven, and God's using him, and he's the one I spoke of. And so then verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Verse 31, he that comes from above. Now, we know he's talking about Jesus here. He that comes from above is above all. Hallelujah. How many of you know he is seated now far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion? Why? Because he's from above. Hallelujah. Some of you will get that about 9 o'clock this evening. He that comes from above is above all. Above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. He said it again. Above all. In other words, superior to all. Higher ranking. More power. Got a higher seat. You understand what I'm talking about? He lives a superior life. Now, somebody said, well, you know, whenever he was in heaven, he had that. And then whenever he went back to heaven, he got that. Well, just look at his life here on the earth. He mastered everything. He mastered storms. He mastered disease. When they tried to push him off a cliff, he mastered it. I think he was superior to them, don't you think? I don't think so. I know so. Because he was from above. Praise the Lord. Not of the earth. Notice he that comes from the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from above is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, circle seen and heard, that he testifieth, in other words, he speaks of, like he said in verse 31, the earthly man speaks of things of the earth. The heavenly man speaks of things of the heavenly realm. And that's what he's talking about in verse 32. What he has seen and heard in the heavenly realm, in the spirit realm, he testified. In other words, he speaks of those things. And no man, you could say no earthly man, receives his testimony. Amen. He that, verse 33 also, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. In other words, we're saying when Jesus tells us something and we say, true, Lord, true, that's true. Even whenever it contradicts sense, knowledge, evidence, we're calling God a truth teller and the devil a liar. That's what verse 33 is talking about. How many of you know God is not a man that he should lie? If he said we have been delivered from the authority of darkness, Colossians chapter 1, remember verse 11, 12, down and through there? We have been delivered, then we are. Darkness has no dominion over us. If he says he made us the righteousness of God in Christ, he's a truth teller. Even when we go, no, I know me, I cannot be righteous, he's a truth teller. And when we say, yes, Lord, that's true about me, we're telling God you're a truth teller. We set to your seal that you're telling the truth about it. And we're acknowledging that we believe him. When he says we're already blessed with all spiritual blessings, when he said I'll supply every need according to your riches in glory, when he said you're accepted in the beloved, when he said you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin. Whatever he says, whatever, regardless of how you feel, whenever you've sinned and you go to God and confess it, you don't always feel forgiven. I don't know about you. Sometimes I have to tell myself I'm forgiven because I don't feel like it. And when I tell myself, I look myself in the mirror and say, now get over it, you're forgiven. When I do that, I'm saying, God, you told the truth about this. confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all. He is faithful. Whenever I say, you're forgiven, now get over it. Yeah, I'm saying, God's faithful.
Right.
God's just.
Right.
He didn't tell a lie. I am forgiven. My flesh might not tell me, but I am. When fear is attacking you and haunting you and trying to get into you, you're free from the spirit of fear. Somebody said, it's been harassing me. I've been bound by it. Well, go to Hebrews 2. Not necessarily turn there, but you can write it down. Or if you want to turn there, I'm not going to turn there. But Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 talks about God delivered you who through fear of death were all of your lifetime subject to bondage. When's he going to do that? He has already. The context, the tense is past tense. Well, why am I not free? Because that right there. Because of the way you say it, the way you talk of it. See, we've got to add our agreement to it. I said, we've got to add our agreement to it. So, praise the Lord. So, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. But I want you to go to Philippians, chapter number 3. Hold your place in John. But go to Philippians chapter number 3. Are you sure you're ready for what the Bible says here? I know you are. I'm just messing with you. Provoking you to amens and hallelujahs. Philippians 3, look at verse 20. Our conversation, this is King James, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my Bible has a little letter K by the word conversation. I don't know if you got a letter there or something. I look in the margin and it says citizenship. Citizenship. My citizenship is in heaven. That's what the actual Greek says. Amen. So when he says my citizenship is in heaven, he's talking about I'm from heaven. That's my homeland. I said, that's my homeland. That's where I'm from. I'm born from above. You know, a lot of Christians in their mind, they are on their way to heaven. They're going to go to heaven someday. When you get your mind renewed, you're not on your way to heaven. You're from heaven. And, of course, on your way. You're going to be there. You know, this body will be transfigured and changed and translated over there. We understand that. I'm not saying we won't go to heaven. But whenever we get our mind renewed, see, we're not thinking of everything's off in the sweet by and by. We have to realize right now our citizenship is from heaven. We're born from above. Remember 1 chapter of John's Gospel, it talks about we are born not of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. We're begotten of God. The 1 John talks about it over and over again. We're begotten of God.
Amen.
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 I said we're begotten of God. We're born from above.
Yes.
Hebrews 2 verse 10 says Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We know Jesus was born of God.
Yeah.
But we're his brethren. He was the firstborn. Actually, he was the firstborn of the brethren. Actually, if you look at the context, it's firstborn from spiritual death, because Jesus took our place in sin and spiritually died on the cross, was separated from God in hell. Why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God left him, just like God left Adam when he spiritually died. You understand? And so that's a whole other. But anyway, the point is, we were born. Jesus was born again. Somebody said, "Well, I can't accept that." Well, then go to read 1 Timothy. Go read through there. I think what is it? The second chapter, I believe, where it talks about God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, believed on in the world, received up into glory, and it talks about him being the first begotten from the dead. I'm trying to remember that verse. Let me go to it, just so nobody hears turning me off right now. And won't hear anything for the rest of the service. It's 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. This is talking about Jesus, manifest in the flesh, seen of angels. That means seen after by angels. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. We know that's Jesus. But notice it says he was justified in the Spirit. What does justified mean? It means made righteous. made righteous. Why would you have to make the Lamb of God, who was born of God in the manger, conceived in Mary's womb from God? Anything born of God is righteous. Why would Jesus have to be made righteous? He was always righteous. Yes, until he became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He took that sin nature, and because of that, whenever he was raised from the dead, he had to be justified just like all of us, because he took our place. Now through faith in him, we can receive that justification. That means stand before God as if sin never existed. Jesus never sinned, but he took our sin, and that separated him from God, and that gave him that place in that he had to defeat the enemy. The Bible said he spoiled principalities and powers. How did he do that? Whenever God's power came into hell, raised him from the dead. I don't know why I'm taking extra time on this morning, but raised him from the dead. That power whooped. Jesus rose, spiritually came alive, and kicked the devil in the head, took the keys of death and hell, rose up triumphant over him, and was made spiritually alive as well as physically alive. Hallelujah. And I just said a lot of things that a lot of church folks have trouble with, but that's in your Bible, and we could take literally 3 weeks and go through that and prove that to you. But here's the point, that not only is Jesus born from above, that's talking about when he was begotten, not just in the manger, but whenever he was born again. Amen. Jesus is the first begotten from the dead, the Bible said. Revelation chapter, what is that? Chapter number one? First begotten from the dead. You hath he quickened. I can't get off of this. Some reason I can't get off. Ephesians 2 says, you hath he quickened. You and I hath he quickened who were dead. Somebody said, well, I was never dead. Physically, no. But he's not talking physically. You hath he quickened. That means quickened means made alive. Spiritually, literally, made alive. Who were dead spiritually. Yes, spiritual death means separation from God. The life of God is not in our spirits. Spiritual death. Remember, Satan is called, Jesus said about the religious people, you're of your father, the devil. Amen. God is not everybody's father, like the world likes to say. Well, God's are all of our father. No. No, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And then God's your father. Otherwise, Satan is your father. Jesus said to very religious people, you are of your father, the devil. In John chapter number, is that 8 or 10? I don't recall. You are of your, or 6 maybe. You are of your father, the devil. Amen. Why do people do devilish things? Just acting like daddy. Amen. Well, it's not easy for some people, if they've never heard all these things, to swallow all that at once, but it's all in there. Anyway, I could take weeks and weeks and we could look at it. Anyway, we're trying to keep the new ones in you know, from disconnecting from us from the beginning here. But the point is, not only does John 3, 31, 32 apply to Jesus, if you look at it closely, it would apply to you who are born from above. He that comes from above, Philippians 3, 20, just write it in the margin right beside that. He that comes from above, our citizenship is from heaven. We're born from above. We're born of God. Not our physical born. I'm not talking about physical birth. I'm talking about the spiritual new birth. He that is from above, that would be Jesus primarily, but us too, is above all. Whoa. Oh, now that's why Ephesians 2 said he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ. Because we above it. Somebody said, well, I'm going through it. Well, you're above it, really. Stop going through it and get above it. Believe you're above it. It's beneath my feet is what we're trying to say. He that is from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth and comes, he that comes from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testified, no man receives his testimony. So whenever you come into the kingdom of God, When you come and receive Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about being religious, promising to do better. I'm talking about a new life. I'm talking about a new experience where the Spirit of God comes into you through receiving Jesus Christ and you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God comes in and makes you a brand new person with a brand new nature on the inside. Amen. Not a nature of sin, but a nature of righteousness. You'll still have the nature of the flesh, the nature of sin in the flesh. It'll want to do some things, but you just grow spiritually and it'll just push all that fleshly nature out. I'm sinning all I want to today. I'm stealing all I want to. I'm committing adultery all I want to. The change happened whenever I got born again. Now I don't want to. Don't want to. My flesh has an appetite of sin, but my spirit man doesn't want to. Now, that the challenge is to live out of your spirit rather than out of your flesh. And he's telling us how to do that here. He said, when you're from above, learn to talk above. Speak things that are not reality in the seen realm that you see and hear in your fellowship with God through his word. Notice he said in verse 32, what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. How many of you know by looking into God's word, you see some things about God, about yourself, about your circumstances, that and you hear some things and understand some things about your circumstances, and he's telling you and I, begin to say that.
Yes. Amen.
Begin to say that. And then who you are by being born from above will come into your experience.
Amen.
Hello? The Knox translation of this, and if you could give me a few minutes to lay the groundwork here. You're still with me? Here in verse number 31, he that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. Knox says he talks the language of the earth. What's the language of the earth? Somebody said that must be cussing or using four-letter words. The language of the earth is just speaking naturally about everything. Listen to the Amplified. His words are from an earthly standpoint. Let me just give you an illustration that we could all understand. It's not all about this, but it's every area of life. But this is one we could understand. Whenever we get into Christ, people say, I just can't afford to tithe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Come on.
You're speaking naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I said, you're speaking naturally. Yeah. Am I? Well, see now, y'all didn't. Well, but I can't. Well, wait. God told us to tithe, and I guess he didn't know we couldn't. You remember, we set to his seal that he is true. Everything he said is true. Most people speak carnally about most things because most people are very carnal. There's more to carnality than watching unclean movies and using four-letter words. Just talking about what you can't do and don't have, and you know how defeated you are. You're talking out of sense knowledge. You're talking naturally. You're talking what you see. You're talking what you feel. You're talking the experiences in the physical realm and what you feel because of being in this physical realm. Well, Pastor, that's just reality. I mean, I'm just real, you know. I know. Real carnal. By the end of the service, some of those daggers will get out of some of your eyes. If I see one flying at me, I'll duck. I won't throw it back. I'll be loving. Praise the Lord. When you're talking realities that you have seen in God's word that do not that don't appear in your natural life yet, you're being spiritual. You're walking in a higher place, talking from a higher reality than the reality of what you've seen.
Amen.
Now go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and 3. We're going to look at a couple of things. when you were born again, how many born again people do I have in here? What happened to you is absolutely amazing. But sense knowledge won't tell you about it. Here's, this book will tell you all about it. It'll tell you who you are, what you have, what you can do. It'll tell you things about you that you look at and you go, no, that can't be true. Well, wait a minute. There are the things that he speaks is what he has seen and heard. And remember, we read in John chapter number 3, what he has seen and heard. And whenever we believe that, we're saying, you're true, Lord. You told the truth. You're a truth teller. You'll see some things about yourself in the Word that your mind will go, that just doesn't compute. I cannot believe that. But what he's saying is, I'm talking from my perspective, the way I see you. Because I am the creator, I am the manufacturer of that new creation. And I know him better than you know him. I made him. I know him. I got the patent on him. I got the all the schematics. I got the engineering diagrams. I got it all. I know all about the new creation. I created him. I made him. And whenever you said, Jesus, come into my heart, I recreated your born again human spirit. And I got the patent in heaven. I know all the engineering. I know exactly everything about him. I know his nature. I know his abilities. I know everything. And I wrote him down in a book for you.
Yeah.
So that whenever you get discouraged and want to know who you are, you could go and find out who you really are. I see and hear things that you don't know because you don't see and hear in the realm that I am. The realm that I am is where I'm talking from. You're talking from the natural man, and you're saying, I can't, I don't have, I'm defeated, I'm. It's a universal condition. I am defeated, broke, busted, disgusted. It's a universal condition until a man gets born again, gets his mind renewed, and starts hearing this gospel. This gospel, not some watered down gospel, this gospel of the new creation in Christ, and start speaking faith rather than speaking what he sees and feels. Praise the Lord. And speaking above natural sense knowledge evidence. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Did I have you go there? Look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. It says, but the natural man, underline that term, the natural man. Go to chapter 3, verse number 1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Underline spiritual. That means the spiritual man. I could not speak unto you as unto a spiritual man. But as unto carnal. Underline carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto were you not able. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. Whereas among you envying, strife, division, are you not carnal? Walk as men. Walk as men. Walk as mere men, one translation says. In other words, body-ruled men. Now, there's three different kinds of men mentioned. One is in 1 Corinthians 2, 14, the natural man. The Bible says there, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. That's the natural man. Then chapter 3, verse 1 talks about, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual. There are spiritual men. He just said they weren't spiritual yet. So that's the third or second one. And then he said, I had to speak unto you as unto carnal. So he mentions three kinds of men. There are three kinds of men on the earth today. There are natural men, there are spiritual men, and there are carnal men. Somebody said, well, what's the difference? The natural man is not even born again yet. And he's totally bodily, body ruled, sense knowledge ruled. He's not ruled by anything God says, any realities of the realm of the Spirit, what God did, Jesus did, who Jesus is, what he did, what the Holy Spirit is, who he is, what he did for us, what he does, and what so forth and so on, who God is, all that. He's not ruled by any of that. He's not interested in all that. He's just spiritually dead, and he's totally dominated by the natural things. He talks naturally. He thinks naturally. If somebody says he can't, he can't. If the doctor says he's sick, he's sick. If the lawyer said he doesn't have the money or the banker said he doesn't have the money, well, then I can't. But I refuse to be limited by the natural realm, so I decide to come on up to live as a different man. The natural man's not even born again. The spiritual and the carnal man is born again. Paul said, I wanted to talk to you as spiritual because they were saved, but he said, you're not yet, you're still carnal. So they are saved, but they're carnal. A spiritual man, well, let's go to a carnal man. A carnal man is a man who's born again, but he's still letting his flesh rule him. He's still walking by sight. He still talks what he sees and says, well, that's just the way it is. I know I can't afford it. I don't have it. I can't overcome this lust of the flesh. I'm in bondage. I'm weak. He's delivered, translated out of the kingdom of darkness, redeemed from the curse of the law. He's been seated with Jesus in heavenly places, but he doesn't talk it. He doesn't act on it. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't speak it. It's not reality to him. To him, the hour or two that they go to church, that's not reality. The real life out here all week long, the grind, you know, the hardship, that's reality, Pastor. That's because you're living in the sense knowledge realm. And that's more real to you than the realities that are preached on Sunday and Wednesday. Maybe not you, but I'm talking about the carnal man. You understand the way I say you? I'm not putting you all as carnal. I know you're not. Praise the Lord. Only one. No, maybe two. Maybe. Just look both ways. I don't know who it is. It must be you or you. So that's the carnal man. He's born again, but he's still flesh ruled. The spiritual man is born again, born from above, and he lives on a higher plane because he lives in the realities of God's word and is not ruled by his flesh or sense knowledge. He doesn't talk out of what he feels. He doesn't talk out of what he sees. He doesn't believe what he sees and what he feels. He believes God's word. Now, I don't mean if you don't come, if you're spiritual, I don't mean if you come up to a red light and you see it's red, you say, well, I just don't believe that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being stupid. I'm talking about things that contradict God's word. His mind has been renewed to the realities of the new man and who he is in Christ, and that's the way he talks of himself. I could take a week and prove all that. But for time's sake this morning, because I'm still on the top of page one, From heaven's standpoint, redemption is already an accomplished fact. You're already free. You're already well supplied in every area of life. You're already delivered from the curse of the law. You're already healed. You're already accepted in the beloved. You're already clean. You're already the righteousness of God. You're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're already all these things. You're already more than a conqueror. Through him that loved you, you're already all those things. Because from heaven's standpoint, redemption is already an accomplished fact. Heaven speaks of you as if all those things are already so. That's what John 3:31-32 is talking about. He's saying some things in the word about you, hello, that if you look around your life, you wouldn't say is so. But from heaven's standpoint, redemption is already an accomplished fact. And, listen to me, also from faith's standpoint. When a man is walking by faith, he also sees these things as already so. Romans 4:17. Abraham's faith, because this is the way God did it. Abraham just stood in front of God. It says, before God whom he believed, he called things that be not as though they are. And when he saw what God said, you are the father of a multitude. From Romans 4, you can read the context. This is, I've made you a father of many nations. He changed his name to Abraham, which means father of multitude. Abraham took that name, and whenever somebody said, good morning, what's your name? And he said, I'm Abraham. He's saying, I'm the father of the multitude. He's calling himself something he's not. He had not had any children. Sarah hadn't been able to conceive. Besides that, now they're old. God comes on the scene and says something totally, totally obnoxious. Good morning, Papa of a whole multitude of nations. Who's he talking to, you know? And God will do that to you. If you read this Bible closely, you'll see your picture and your name all through there. And God said, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's you. That's, I'm describing you. That's who you are. And you don't feel that way. You don't look that way. You don't act that way. You don't believe that way. You don't, not nothing that way. You don't talk that way about you. You don't. Maybe some great saint, but not me. Dear Lord, me. But see, now what he's saying is, if you'll start talking that way, you'll rise up into those realities. Oh, glory to God. When you and I speak what heaven has said about our condition because we believe the word that reveals what he sees, we are calling God a truth teller and the devil a liar. And it opens the door for the Lord to manifest it in our lives. Most people don't do that. They speak what they see. You know, I'm just real, Pastor. I'm just real. Well, you got to ask yourself, does what you say contradict God's word? Amen. Amen. The spiritual man, to the spiritual man, the man of the spirit, what he says has everything to do with the way he lives. The natural man wrestles with natural things and puts forth effort of flesh and blood to make life work. The spiritual man knows that every battle is spiritual at his core, and his words are his weapons. Amen. And they are not carnal. And he enters into the faith fight regarding what he sees, not just something physical. I'm not saying don't put forth physical effort towards some things, but the point is, if you don't put forth your words toward it, then your words are going to undo all that you're putting forth physical effort to accomplish. Put your words to work for you, not against you. Oh, I'm just now getting started. This is called the good fight of faith. Remember, the Bible says, fight the First Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you're called. He's talking about man already born again. He said, lay hold of eternal life. So it can't be the new birth he's talking about when he says eternal life. He's talking about a quality of life down here that is like God designed it to be. Lay hold on that quality of life and profess a good profession. Amen. What you're saying is the realities that you see because you're walking in a higher realm than the seen realm. You're walking in the realm of the realities of God's word. This can get so real to you that you're not trying to believe it. It's just you're talking the way you see it. You're talking realities that you see. You can tell by some people's confession they're trying to believe it. Well, that's fine. School yourself into faith by your own confession. That's fine. But whenever it becomes a reality to you, we will be able to tell you aren't trying to believe it. This is just the way you see it. It's reality to you. You don't see it. You don't see yourself defeated whenever circumstances say you're defeated. So you keep talking success. You keep talking victory. You keep talking overcoming and freedom and so forth and so on, even whenever the circumstances say you're not. Because it's reality to you. What you say is what you're going to be the most conscious of. Words create realities of things. I said the more you say the God's words, the more the reality of them will dawn on your inner consciousness. It's developed through your confession. Sometimes people say, it's just not real to me. I can't say that. That's not real to me. Well, the more you say it, the more real it'll become. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Remember, if you'll decree it, light will shine. Job talks about that. Thou shalt decree a thing, it'll be established, and light will shine on your way. When you say it, you'll start to see it. The more you say it, the more you see it. When you read it in the Word, even though you don't see that as reality, begin to say it. Begin to say it. You can even start saying, sometimes people get labels whenever they're kids in school. You know, you're dumb, slow, klutzo, you know, whatever. They get those labels, and that's how they see themselves. But whenever you read the Word, the Bible talks about He's made unto us wisdom, you know, and all these things. He talks about creative and witty inventions. He's talking about the ability that comes into us from God whenever we get born again. And so you can begin to say those things and pass again and get past all those labels. All those realities created by speaking that over yourself. Am I in the right room? You're the most conscious of the things you say. The effect of your lips on your inner man is amazing. If you'll start saying some things, it'll start affecting your inner man. And the consciousness of it will dawn on your inner man. It's what you confess that really dominates your inner man. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, this is better preaching than your amen. Now, fight the good fight of faith. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified says, faith is the assurance, the confirmation in the Amplified. Hebrews 11:1, the title deed of things we hope for. Look at this. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Oh, I hope you're getting this morning. It takes what God says and says that's real facts. And I'm convinced that's reality. Rather than, well, I've never been able to be free in that area of my life. That's just reality. Well, the reality is you are redeemed from that. If it's binding you, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The real realm is the realm of the spirit, not the realm of the natural. The realm of the natural came out of the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. So, if I could just speed this up a little bit. What Jesus is saying here in John 3, he's saying that if you look up this word here, he said, he that is of the earth is earthly. You see that? The word earthly is out of two Greek words. One means territory or region or country. The other one means origin or where one is from. So when he says, he that speaks of the earth is earthly, he's telling us that natural man, that a natural man is going to talk like where he comes from. Isn't that right? You can locate a person by their accent. They come to church, you know, how y'all doing up here? Well, we know they're from the South. A lot of people think I'm from the South, but I'm not, the way I talk. I just had a roommate that was from South Carolina for a period of time before I got married, back in Rhema, and he's real Southern. I started mocking him and imitating him. Yeah, I talk like you talk, and I caught on. It caught. I haven't been able to shake it ever since. But you can locate people, and I did live in Tulsa a long time. That didn't help. That's... You know, they kind of talk, let's look kind of Southern down there. But the point is, you can tell where people are from by how they talk. Am I in the right room? You grew up in the Deep South. You're going to talk like those people down there because that's the way you learn to talk. How many of you know we all learn to talk from our moms and dads and people around us and so forth and so on? What Jesus is saying is the same thing's true spiritually. Before a man's born again, he's going to talk like natural people do. Because that's who he is. He's a natural man before he's born again. He's just natural. I mean, if it's broke, it's broke. If it hurts, it hurts. If there's no money, there's no money. If I can't overcome it, then I'm bound. And, you know, just talk natural. That's the way that the natural man talks. That's what Jesus is saying. Isn't that right? But 1 Corinthians 2:14, that's the natural man. He receives not the things of the Spirit of God. But we're not natural men anymore. We have been born of the Spirit. And we all begin this new spiritual life, carnal. We start in the carnal stage, but we're to grow towards spirituality. That means beginning to see the realities of God's Word and calling them reality more than the way we feel and the way we see. A spiritual man is not dominated by what he feels or sees. We all talk. We were all natural and talked naturally before we were born again. But when a man's born again, he's born from above now. God begins to call him to come up in his speaking and begin to speak a superior language to those than those that are born from a higher place. That those that are born from a higher place speak, the language is called the language of faith. Amen. He's supposed to look in the Bible, hear what God said, receive that as reality, and start speaking that over himself. Amen. I can't make it any more plainer. Yeah. Amen. But just like any natural born baby has to learn to talk from his parents. Naturally born baby had to learn to talk by his parents. A newborn spiritual baby has to learn to talk this language of faith. You're not born again knowing how to talk it. Amen. A man born from above can live in the flesh realm and keep talking the flesh and talking what he sees and live just like any natural person can. Isn't that right? Most Christians do. I said most Christians do. Some of you are just kind of angry. I think maybe you, Maybe I'm identifying somebody or something. Talk the way you learned to talk before you were born again. Isn't that right? Or he can renew his mind. He can learn the word and learn to walk by faith. And if he does learn this new language of faith and redemption, he can rise up and receive all that God has for him. If he doesn't, he's going to come short of most of the things God has for him in this life. How many of you know you can't succeed in a foreign land that speaks another language? Really, you can't succeed very well unless you learn that language. And to heaven saying, I can't, I don't have, I'm weak, and so forth. That's a foreign language. God says, who's he talking about? I know him. I made him. He's in Christ. That's not him. I can't honor those words. I'd be honoring a lie. Isn't that right? You really can't interact with people very well in a foreign land. Until, I mean, you might can have a translator, interpreter, and so forth, but just kind of, still kind of limited. And you certainly couldn't succeed in the economy of that land. Isn't that right? You can visit there and get by for a while, but to live there, get a job there, succeed there, so forth and so on, that's going to be tough. We were just in Russia a month or so ago, and, they have maids in the hotels that change the room. We don't like, especially when we're in four countries, we don't like to let the maids in. I mean, some things we got laying around, they don't have that kind of stuff in their culture and society. I mean, we're a very rich nation, And so we don't let the maids in often. So we come back from our meal or whatever after the service, and we'll catch a maid in the hallway, and we'll say, hey, can we get this or we get that? And it's tough whenever they speak another language. Like we were in Russian, they speak Russian. And so I think you went to the desk to get something, and I saw the maid out there, and I needed some toilet paper. We were out of toilet paper. I mean, just a fact of life, okay? Hey. And so I said, I'm thinking, I don't know if she can understand this. Toilet paper. I said, toilet paper. And I started doing this, toilet paper. She's like saying something to me. I have no clue what she's saying. I kept doing this, toilet paper. And that went on for like a minute or two, and I'm like, how can I describe that? I said, toilet paper. And the thought went through my mind to wipe, but I thought, I said, no, I'm not on the farm. I'm not on the farm. These are not my brothers. I'm civil. Let's see here. Toilet paper. So I said, 1 minute, and I closed the door, and I went and got a blank roll, the cardboard, and I said, toilet paper. She goes, oh! Just in time. I'm needing it, If just getting a roll of toilet paper is that hard when you speak a different language, how could you ever live there and succeed in that economy and tap into all the other resources of the economy? Some of you just woke up. Amen. Amen. Well, the same thing's true spiritually. How are you going to tap into all the riches that are laid up for you in Christ? Amen. By continuing to talk another language. You're not talking redemption. You're not talking faith. You're not talking the realities of God's word. You're talking what you see, what you feel. Am I in the right room? You're talking an identity that God does not recognize. You're speaking of yourself in a way God doesn't recognize. He doesn't recognize natural realities. He sees you in Christ. And all his interactions with you will be in that realm. If you really want to get to know him and experience him talking to you in prayer, you're going to have to interact with him on the way he interacts with you. You're going to have to talk his language and stop saying, I'm just so broken, this and this, so defeated and so weak. You're going to have to say, Father, I thank you. You put me in Christ. You don't have any feelings that you're victorious or not, or free or not. You just say, Father, I thank you. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. So you start saying what he says about you. And God will go, oh, we understand what he's saying. When we talk other ways, God's like, that's a foreign language. I don't understand. And the angels are like, I don't know what he's saying. Amen. That's not how we see him. That's not how we see him. Am I getting through? Hallelujah. When you're born again and you talk naturally of yourself or your lack of ability or, you know, lack of something, you're actually talking against the reality of who you really are. Amen. You're not able to tap into the heavenly realities. That's what Romans 4:17 is all about. Abraham called himself things that were not as though they were. Isn't that right? God said, you are a father of a multitude. And he said, I am a father of a multitude. And by believing, a man believing and speaking a word given by God, even that was contrary to everything he had ever experienced or ever thought he would experience, when he began to believe it and that what God had given him and began to mix faith with it, God, with a word, made a man something that was nothing, who was nothing. He took a man and made him something that he was not by giving him a word. And the man believed it and said that same word back to God. Hello. One translation says of Romans 4:17, Abraham was first named a father, in other words, by God, and then became a father because he dared to trust God and do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. You said, I am nothing, I am not, I am this, I am that. Well, with a word that you receive and begin to speak, God will take that nothing and turn you into something. He'll take nobodies and make them somebodies. Hallelujah. So what this is saying is that calling things that be not as though they were gives a materiality to things that were not material and proves the almighty power of God. That's why Jesus said, Mark 11:23, you'll have what you say. Saying it changes it from just being so in the spiritual realm and gives it substance in your material realm and the experience of your material realm. So whenever he says he that is of the earth is earthly, he's talking about a natural man speaks natural things, and his speech is earthbound, bodybound, and sense knowledge bound. It never rises above that. He doesn't dare say anything beyond what he has said, sees or feels. He wouldn't dare. But I'm here to dare you to move beyond that realm with your words. I dare you. I said, I dare you, and start watching what God does. He honors his word. Listen, if you can hear a different sound than what everybody else is hearing, you can have some things nobody else is getting. If you can tune in to the realm of heaven and hear what heaven's saying about you, the Bible's a copy of it. Just start there. If you don't know what heaven's saying, just start with the Bible. When you can hear that and hear that with the ear of faith and tune in, you can get some things nobody else is getting because they're earthbound. They're limited. See, that's what that means, limited. But you can go beyond limits because the Word of God is all powerful. No limits on it. Amen?
Amen?
I heard a story. I think I've told it here before. It'll bear repeating. I heard this story about a man. This is back in the Depression. This is actually a true story. Not just preaching, just a true story. Just being funny. I'm okay. But back in the Depression, there was a man there were not many jobs. Jobs were scarce. But a man did have a job. He needed a man to work for him. So he said, he put out a little, shingle out by his business, hiring or whatever, And, you know, in those days, the line formed. I mean, everybody needed a job. So, not everybody, but a lot of people needed a job. So they're lining up, and the boss is taking interviews or has a secretary out there interviewing, you know, qualifications for this job. And he sees the line getting longer and longer, and he said, oh, man, it's going to take a long time. I need him today. So he goes back into his, business, and the business was Morse code. He needed sending signals through Morse code, and he needed a man who understood Morse code. And I guess there was a little clicker out there that people could hear the Morse code or whatever. I don't know how it worked, but he went back there and he tapped in Morse code. If you hear this and understand this, come down to the front of the line. You have a job. But he just tapped it in Morse code. Anybody know what Morse code is? And a man from the back ran down front, bypassed everybody, and he said, I heard it, I heard it. I heard that the boss just tapped in. If you hear this, come down to the front. And the boss tested him on a few things. He said, got it, hired. And he said to everybody, thank you. I got the man I needed. And they're all like, well, that's not fair. Well, it is fair. I mean, it's just fast. That's all it is. Let's speed this thing up. It's fair because nobody else is going to get the job anyway. They didn't know Morse code. Well, the same thing's true with you. If you can hear in a realm that others don't hear, by his stripes, you're attacked with disease. You can hear those words, by his stripes, I am healed. I don't mean just hear them like bouncing off your eardrums. I mean hear them. And they are reality. Jesus redeemed me from sickness and disease. If you can hear those words, then you can have some things other people can't hear. Because you're hearing in a realm they don't hear. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And as a result, you'll have a superior life. He that can hear and see in the realm of the Spirit and hear how God speaks of him, sees what God sees of him, and begins to talk that way, he'll live a superior life. Amen. I said, he'll live a superior life. Amen. Did you get anything out of the Word this morning? Yes, I said, did you get anything out of the Word this morning? Yes, where can you get that kind of faith? Sometimes people say, well, how can I begin to live that way? Well, the Bible is the source of this kind of faith. Well, I just don't have that kind of faith. We'll go to the source of it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The more you talk about the Word and how the Word speaks of you, the more you will have in the things of God. The more you talk your doubts and your fears and your weaknesses and your failures, faith shrivels. You're just killing it. Really, your faith or your unbelief is revealed and is either strengthened or whipped by your confession. Hallelujah. Refuse to allow carnal speaking from your lips for 1 second. I'm almost done. Why do you want to refuse it? Because you know it will destroy the effects that the Word of God was supposed to have on you. Don't let it out your mouth. Stick a sock in it. But I just feel like if I just say it, I get it off my chest. No. Well, I just got to let it out. No, you're not letting it out. You're letting it in. I know some people don't agree with that, but that's reality. I said, don't just speak it. Don't for a second speak it. A big part of taking a stand in faith and holding fast to your confession is holding fast to your confession of faith in the presence of sense knowledge. That's a big part of taking a stand in faith. Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning? Refuse to be intimidated by sense knowledge. Things that contradict what you believe from God's Word. Refuse to be intimidated. Refuse to let it push you around. Refuse to let it dictate what you can have or don't or won't have. Don't let it govern you. It's a tyrant. It's a ruthless tyrant. Sense knowledge, walking by sense knowledge will keep you whipped. It'll just keep whipping you, just keep whipping you, and just keep whipping you. You want to defeat the devil, rise up and talk heaven's language. And you'll whip him every time because you're holding him in the arena of faith. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Hallelujah. Refuse to act on sense knowledge and what it tells you. Because you know and have a knowledge about something that is more real than that. Refuse to base your decisions on what you see. What it is telling you. That voice of the natural mind telling you this or that's true, don't let it dictate the direction you go or the words you speak. Don't let it tell you, make your decisions for you. Don't let it tell you whether you can do something or can't do something. Whether you can step out and obey God or not. Whether you can have something or not have something. Don't let it tell you how to think or how to talk. You just divorce it. And say, I'm done with you, out of my life. From now on, I'm talking heaven's language about me. I'm not going to be intimidated by what I see. I'm going to hold what I see in the realm of faith. Amen. I know what I see is lesser than the greater one who's inside of me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to let him that make my decisions for me. I'm going to not let anything else boss me around, put limits on me, tell me when to stop, when to go. A lot of times when we step out to do things, there's nothing that says we can do it. When we hired Brian, didn't know this, but when we hired Brian, there was no money to put him on payroll. He's finding that out right now. Have you gone unpaid for 1 second? Not a second. Not a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, why did you step out when there was no money? Because God said, time now, put him on staff now. Well, well, you didn't have the money. Where's the money coming from? I don't know, but to be honest with you. Amen. If I went by the natural, I couldn't even figure it out. But it's always been there. Always been there. Always been there. I guess he's a man of faith. I'm sure he is. I'm making light of something that's a serious deal. He is a man of faith. But that's just how, when you hear from God, don't let anything in sense knowledge tell you you can't do that. Amen. Now, the key is hearing from God. This word can come alive to you, and you can say, I see it, now I can do it. Now I can do it. You can't do it if you can't see it. You can't walk where another man walks if you don't have the revelation he has. Don't try to walk without the revelation. Get the revelation, then you can walk where you can do the impossible. One man said, if you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. Amen. Glory! Glory! And I like living beyond what's possible. Amen. It's a way of faith. It becomes not just stepping out because you pull something out of the hat and decide, I'm going to do this. Well, no, you're not. Because you just pulled that out of your hat. I'm talking about hearing from God, seeing yourself the way God sees you, and therefore you get a faith urge. You get a faith prompting. Here we go. I'm taking that. I'm taking that. Thank you, Lord. Freedom from condemnation. I'm taking it. Taking it. Taking it. One of my favorite testimonies in Bible school was Alexis. I don't know where she's sitting this morning. And she was telling us, she's working, she was telling us about some of the classes and how she saw herself in Christ. She said, that's it, devil, your days are over, all the intimidation, everything. And she walked out of that open prison house. It was an open prison house, and she saw, it's open, and she walked right out of it. She did, she's a different girl today. Glory! Stand with me to your feet. Tell your neighbor, okay, that's the last you're going to hear me talking naturally about me. I am a man from now on. Say your neighbor, I'm now on. From now on, I'm a man in Christ or a woman in Christ. And that's the way I'm going to talk about me. Amen. Don't be like the person that came by the back line while the service was over, right after a good service on something like this, and just if it would have been talking naturally, it would have been cussing, they cussed a blue streak. Just natural, natural, natural. You just can't help folk like that. And they have been so limited in life. I know their life. They've been so limited because they just won't kick the wrong talking. I don't care how you feel. Talk it. Talk. I don't care if you feel silly. I don't care if you don't feel like it's reality. I don't care if you think you're being a liar about it. You just shut all those thoughts down and you talk it anyhow. Talk it anyhow. talk it anyhow. I'm really not interested in hearing about you in the flesh. You're not interested in hearing about me in the flesh. I know I'm going a little long here this morning, but I'm endeavoring to get you to connect in with it. You know, some of you are used to natural learning, and you just hear it once and you learn it, you know, math, engineering, whatever. But this is not a learning of your head. I'm not just trying to get it into your head. I'm trying to get it into your spirit. Amen. It's not how you just talk in church. I'm not trying to just telling you to just say what we want to hear at the back line. I'm not saying that. It has to be a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Day in, day out. Monday morning, Monday night. Feel good, feel bad. Things are up, things are going good. Things are down, things are going bad. Doesn't matter. You just talk the word. Talk the realities of heaven. Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.